evening. I'd like to join in with Ralph and welcome everyone here tonight. So tonight's lesson, whenever I was trying to determine what I wanted to talk about, I was looking at, you know, just my life as a Christian and how it began. And so tonight I wanted to look at some passages in the Scripture that talks about how our Christian growth, how we should grow, how we continue to grow, and how we should continue to grow as Christians. As for me, I know whenever I first became a Christian, you know, you're looking to learn as much as you can. You know, there was times where I didn't grow like I should, and finally, you know, I started to being encouraged by the members here. I'm very blessed in this congregation to have a lot of people that will encourage you, and they'll very good, you know, to have that, especially when you're starting out. People are giving you encouraging words and want you to continue to grow and to get better. And of course, I became a deacon, and then recently, I just now was appointed an elder. So, something I think we all need to look at in our lives, especially as Christians. You know, spiritual growth is necessary. Some of the things that we need to look at when we do grow is our knowledge of Jesus, and we should grow in our zeal, we should grow in our faith, in our good works, and in our ability to be more like Christ. And we think about our physical being, you know, when we're first born and we're babies, you know, the babies, they desire their mother's milk. But as Christians, you know, we need to, as newborn babes in Christ, we should desire the spiritual milk. That'll help us grow into our salvation. So if you would, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, it states, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." So when we talk about our knowledge of Christ, so how do we grow in our knowledge of Christ? You'll turn with me into 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, and starting in verse 2, says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, love. For these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he is cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So as Christians, we must abound in these things. We must abound in our faith, in virtue, our knowledge, our self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Verse 8 tells us that For if these things are yours and you abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. So if we were to look at these words and we were trying to give some kind of a small definition to help us to grow, the word faith can be something like our conviction, our strong assurance. Virtue would be our behavior showing our moral standards. Our knowledge is something that is a practical understanding of a certain subject. Our self-control, of course, is just our self-discipline. Perseverance would be our steadfastness in doing something despite no matter how difficult it is. Our godliness would be our devotion to God. Brotherly kindness is our love towards our brethren. And love, of course, is being passionate towards our brothers and sisters in Christ. So growth in these areas requires diligence, which diligence is our having a constant effort. And in verse 5, it states, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." Also in verse 10, it says, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure." So, if we do these things, it's going to help us not to stumble. That's not to say that we're not going to sin, because we've all sinned, but it will make our calling and election more sure. Verse 9 tells us that if we lack these things, then we're short-sighted even to blindness. If we want to show our brotherly kindness, let's look at a verse in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. John chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. "He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." So if we walk in the light, then we should love our brother. And if we don't love our brother, then we don't know God, because God is love. So what about love? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we'll read the first 8 verses. "For I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails." So having love in our heart is something that should continue to grow in. Love for our brother, love for God's word. So as we grow as Christians, how can we grow? Have our zeal for God grow? First, what's the definition of zeal? Zeal is a great energy or an enthusiasm that you're going to pursue something for a cause. So you're going to be very enthusiastic about growing as a Christian. So if you would turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Here it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God." So God's people here had a zeal for God, but it wasn't according to his knowledge. That's why we must be enthusiastic about studying and pursuing God's wisdom and his will for us, not seeking our own wisdom and knowledge, but that of Jesus and the Father. With the right knowledge and attitude, we can submit ourselves to God's righteousness. So next, how can we grow our faith? first we need to find out what actually faith is, what the Bible defines faith. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 1, says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." We'll turn over another page to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, read verses 1 and 2. "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin of which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." So we can have faith knowing that through eyewitness accounts, Jesus died on a cross for our sins, that he truly was the Son of God, and then all the prophecies about him were actually fulfilled. He overcame death, and then he now sits at the right hand of God. There's one God and one mediator between God, and that's Jesus. Other ways that we can grow as Christians is we can set aside a time during the day for us to study God's Word, to meditate on what it says, to pick certain subjects to study about to help us in our knowledge. Going to God in prayer at all times. I know for me, when I'm at work, a lot of times you want to be thankful. If you're thankful for what God's done for you, especially answering your prayers, you know, like on behalf of my grandson, a lot of prayers have been answered on his behalf. And just the good things in life that you have, your health that you have, or you want to pray for other people, that's a good time to go to God in prayer. Singing, I know a lot of people like to sing. I usually, going to work and coming home, I'll have music on, spiritual music, trying to listen to that, listen to the words, and try to understand what the words are saying. And to help me keep my mind focused on, doing God's will and continue to grow in my knowledge. Also, we can do Bible studies. I know we have Bible studies here at the building through the week. Right now, it's on Mondays and Tuesdays. You can also do Bible studies at home. Have people over and do Bible studies. It'll help you grow. It'll help encourage others. Or we can just be an encouragement to others, just ourselves, just being here. We would turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." So we encourage each other every time that we're here. When people aren't here, we miss them, we're concerned about them. Even whenever we have Bible studies, it's an encouragement to have people here that you can study with and talk with. These things can help us, help us to increase our knowledge of God's Word, help us to get to know our brethren better, and it even may lead others to Christ. And also it may restore someone that is here that's weak in their faith. You may help them to grow. If you would, turn to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, starting with verse 19, it says, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." other ways that we can continue to grow as Christians is to become part of the congregation, like helping out with teaching, and then ultimately becoming a teacher. Teaching a class will definitely help you to learn a lot more about God's Word, especially since you have to take time to prepare, understand what the Scriptures are saying, and look up other resources to help you out. It will also strengthen your ability to teach others about the gospel and to bring others to Christ. Another way that we can grow is to do good works. You know, we're created in Christ to do good works. If you would, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Also, Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and verse 8 says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men." So when we do good works, we bring glory, we bring glory to God. If you would, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. "Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." So if we do good works, no one can have anything bad to say about you. You know, doing good works demonstrates our faith in God. In James chapter 2, if you want to turn there. So doing good works requires, our faith requires works. James chapter 2 and verses 14 through 17 says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which they are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." For our faith to increase, we have to have works that goes along with it. So in conclusion, all these things which we have looked at will help us have a closer walk with God. Our knowledge of Christ will grow. Our faith will grow stronger. Our ability to be more Christ-like will continue to increase, and our Christian life will be filled with joy, love, and peace. And the last verse I'd like to look at states how we should exercise our spiritual growth daily. It's 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting at verse 7. "But reject profane and old wise fables, and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that is and that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach." So as a Christian, we need to continue to grow. And these are not by far all the things that we can grow in. Each one of us has different areas we need to improve upon. So
growing spiritually is something that God requires of us and that we should do, and we should want to have that zeal to do that. If you're not a Christian tonight, you know, the perfect opportunity to become one. All you have to do is to believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Confess your faith in Him as Lord. Repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Is there anyone here that needs to respond to the gospel tonight? Please come forward as we stand and sing.